among us, and we saw his glory. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. On March 25th, every year, the church celebrates the Feast of the Annunciation, which I believe ranks right up there with Christmas. Today is as important as Christmas. Why? Well, today we commemorate, just like at Christmas, when the Word of God became flesh, or in the Latin Vulgate, verbum caro factum est. Everything sounds so holy and heavenly in Latin, right? And I love Latin because it makes me sound so holy and heavenly, the most important thing. In other words, God humbled himself to take on a human body, a miracle called the incarnation, literally enfleshment, or becoming flesh. And this miracle of the incarnation has forever changed both history and humanity. It changed everything. The Eternal One has stepped into the river of time. The Unchanging One has donned the vestments of vicissitude. He must now endure change and chance. Now, a quick trivia question for you. Why do we celebrate the Annunciation on March 25th and not on another day of the year? Why today? Well, how long is it between March 25th and December 25th? Well, that's exactly 9 months. Now, what human process usually takes about 9 months to complete? Now, heck, even a celibate priest knows this answer. It's pregnancy. We commemorate Jesus' conception on March 25th and his birthday on December 25th. By the way, this feast explains why abortion is so odious to Christians. Jesus becomes a human being, becomes flesh on March 25th. Not on December 25th. And to kill Jesus in the womb would have been a deicide, killing God, no less than the crucifixion. So all pro-life people should really celebrate the Annunciation every year. It is the quintessential pro-life feast. Let me just draw out two implications of the incarnation, two lessons we can learn. First, being a body means that God can now suffer. Something that was impossible for him in heaven. Hebrews says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. That is, instead of sacrificing the bodies of bulls and goats, Jesus would sacrifice his own body. Jesus' suffering would make him sympathetic to all human suffering. You know, ever since my nephew Noah passed away, funerals have become very hard for me. I can now feel very deeply the family's own loss. I know their pain because I too have suffered a similar pain. I can sympathize with them, not just merely empathize with them. In fact, several people have called me for counseling now because they know I have suffered this loss. Suffering makes me close to a perfect stranger. That's one reason the Word became flesh, to suffer with us, to know our pain, to be close to us, so that we might not see Jesus as a stranger. A second implication of the incarnation is that Jesus simply wants to be with us and love what we love. He desires to dwell with us. He wants to laugh with us, to cry with us, to sing with us, to dance with us. And if this doesn't sound too scandalous, he might even have a martini with us, but only one. There's a common phrase that people use these days while dating. They say, he's just not that into you. He's just not that into you. Have you heard that phrase? It means that your boyfriend is bored with you and he wants to break up. He's not into you. Well, Jesus is exactly the opposite. He's really into you. He's deeply interested in everything about you. Nothing about you bores him. And he can demonstrate his love and interest because he has a body. Verbum caro factum est. The Greek philosopher Aristotle described a friendship as one single soul in two bodies. Jesus loves what we love. Whether it's March Madness, Minecraft, the Minions movie, and a million other things, so that we might love what he loves, our neighbor and our God. One soul in two bodies. You know, every time we go to Mass, we celebrate another little incarnation. This time, however, God does not become a body, he becomes bread. That's why we ring the bells at the consecration. It's like the bells we hear at Christmas time. Why did God become flesh and dwell among us? Because Jesus is so into you. Praise be Jesus Christ.